How's it going?
To end.
How's it going?
To end.
How's it going?
To end.
How's it going? To end.
How is it going to end?
How's it going to end?
How's it going to end?
How's it going
to end?
How is it?
How's it going to end?
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to How's It Gonna End? How you doing? That's great. It's just me today. Just me, no guests, no one more interesting than me, like infinitely, you know? It's just me in this loud-ass hoodie. If you're listening, I'm wearing a psychedelic, you know, ridiculous-looking hoodie that I got because I'm a piece-of-shit consumer. But it's consumers for people who are anti-consumerism, so I guess that's fine, right? Come on in, have a seat. Let's just have a nice chill episode, you know, nice shorter chill episode. I have a bunch of headlines we can talk about and, you know, just see what's going on. A nice buffer, because I'm constantly trying to have people on to make these more interesting, because I know that if it's just me, it's like no one gives a fuck, right? So, and that's not me fishing for like, no, come on, we care. Listen, I understand. I'm not anybody important or important enough to listen to unless I have somebody else with me. But, you know, that's why these are only 20-something minutes. We got a ton of stuff to talk about, a ton of news. Some interesting news, some shit that's just fucking annoying and that you got to deal with because that's the way the fucking world is. What's going on? If you're listening, thank you for listening. If you are watching this, thank you for watching this. I appreciate it. I don't know what happened in the last couple of weeks. I had like a huge bump on Instagram. I grew like 20,000 followers. In a matter of like a week and a half, 2 weeks, and that's never happened that large before, that large of a jump, you know. And it's like, that's fucking crazy. 70-something thousand. That's a lot of fucking people. What are you guys doing? I mean, the majority of you don't even like look at my stuff. Not to sound ungrateful, but you know, that's a little ridiculous. It's still too many fucking people either way. Let's be honest, like 100 people is too many people. But you're here. The few of you that are here. And I appreciate it. You know, I seriously do. Because that's fucking crazy. Why are you doing that? Stop it. Moving on. We got some news, man. We got some fucking sequel news. We got some hilarious quotes from people who were fucked by Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers has a whole other, you know, hilarious cavalcade of news going on that we can talk about. First thing of news. First news. News up news. First news. There is officially, like, we've gotten, like, legitimate, what's the word? Confirmation, basically, of a Joker 2. Todd Phillips posted a photo of the cover of the script, I assume, of the screenplay, and a picture of Joaquin Phoenix reading it. I guess that's happening. It makes sense to be both stoked and a little weary, you know, a little cautious for this sequel. Todd Phillips doesn't exactly have the best track record when it comes to sequels. Check Hangover 2, which is another perfect example, basically, of what's happening with Joker. It's a version of something that, you know, is very kind of like pure in itself. And had everything kind of stacked against it. Well, maybe not for Hangover, but like, you know, Hangover came in and it crushed and it's insane when it comes to numbers. And then they were like, all right, well, here's a much more money for two more like lower quality sequels. There you go. And, you know, I don't think anybody disagrees with that. And if you do, you're lying. And then, you know, same with Joker. Joker had every obstacle against it, you know. Joker had a whole like social obstacle of people being like, this is going to incite incels, which I think it didn't at all. There was no statistic of any bump of any of these crazy motherfuckers shooting anything up not because of the movie, but happening all over the world. Not over the world, all over this fucking country all the time. But not because of the movie. And it had Warner Brothers actively trying to not make the movie. You know, Warner Brothers was in this weird transition phase where they were like, all right, we'll just, you know, we'll do the Joss Whedon route. And that's not happening anymore. But Warner Brothers, like, there was they actively cut the budget. They cut the budget of Joker nearly in half. They brought it down to like 60-something million. Which, you know, it's still a lot, but like, they actively tried to destroy this fucking movie. And then there was a producer that was like helping it and keeping it alive. And then after the movie was like fully greenlit and happening, and they couldn't do anything to it, that producer got fired, which, you know, it's very funny. And then Joker goes and makes a billion. And then Warner Brothers is like, so Todd Phillips is going to be running things from now on when it comes to the DC stuff. Todd Phillips and James Gunn, which, you know, I don't care. That's not the part that I think about when it comes to this stuff. I think about the fact that, like, oh, so now this really low-budget movie that you guys tried to axe made a billion. So now here's a sequel that is, you know, let's be honest. It's when it comes to unnecessary sequels, this is pretty much up there. Because this is Joker's, Joaquin Phoenix as this character is, you only go further with a character like this if it's like a fun thing to do, which it seems like it is. The title for what seems like the title for Joker 2 is French Folie à Deux, which is, you know, translates to like madness for two or something. So we're going to get like another Joker or like a copycat Joker or maybe Harley Quinn. It'll be a love story or some shit, which is cool. If it's like the same people, and you have the same kind of passion for it, and if you bring on the same composer and cinematographer, I can't remember their names, but they're incredible, then yeah, you're going to come out with like another, you know, great product. But the problem with that is there's something always interesting about when a studio puts like full confidence in something that they previously didn't give a fuck about. And it's always like the dangerous side of being like, oh, well, now we're going to get something infinitely lower quality, but like faster greenlit. Which happens all the time. It happened with fucking Deadpool. Which Deadpool, I mean, no, Deadpool 2 didn't come out lower quality. It just had a bigger budget. But that's another example of, like, nobody trusted Deadpool. They had a release in February. You know what I mean? Like, you know, any movie, it's a fact. If a studio puts a movie out in February, they're not expecting, unless it's a fucking Valentine's Day movie or 50 Shades of Grey, they're not expecting any kind of financial return. And then Deadpool crushed it. And then they're like, all right, here, make three more right now. Well, make one more, and then we'll, in 5-6 years, we'll do a third. But that's the problem with these fucking sequels, man. Hangover 2 was awful. Hangover 2 was like, it's the first one, but we'll double it because now we have more money and we'll go to fucking somewhere wacky like Bangkok. It's like, and that's how you like completely ruin the, I mean, let's be honest, the like, memory of the Hangover isn't exactly the best if you rewatch it now. You know, it's a lot of it's incredibly, you know, horrifyingly insensitive. But it's the reactionary stuff that's funny. You know, what's his face screaming and Bradley Cooper looking attractive and Zach Galifianakis being fat and bearded and goofy. And then they're like, we'll just do the same. And this time, instead of losing a tooth, he'll get a Mike Tyson tattoo. It's like, guys, you kind of, it's like what they did. Funny enough, this is oddly topical. It's like with every Jack Sparrow sequel. It's like every Pirates of the Caribbean sequel. You know? It's like, oh, well, people watch these movies for just Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow. And it's like, guys, no. That's why every movie following The Black Pearl is terrible. Like, it's fine because Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow is cool. But after a while, like, he went south with that newest one that came out, what, 4 or 5 years ago? Where they made him young in CGI and all that shit. It's like, come on. That's what happens, man. It's a studio being like, oh shit, this is a money pit we didn't realize we had. And then they go and they gouge it out. And it's like, oh no, it turns out you guys didn't realize what people really wanted out of this like property. You know what I mean? Which, it's not new. I mean, it happens with every fucking studio and it's pretty common, but it's disappointing nonetheless. So that's happening, you know. And there's like several sides about thinking about Joker 2. Part of it is like, oh my God, we're going to get another interesting like character development, analysis and then maybe we'll be able to take another slower approach. Because now we don't have to build up a character. You have the character now. You know what I mean? You have Joaquin Phoenix as Arthur Fleck, the Joker, or whatever, and you can do whatever you want with him now, which is the creative aspect of it. But then the horrifying aspect of it, when it comes to like creatively, I guess, is like, all right, well, now let's see how this goes. Let's see if it's something that's going to make you like disappointed every time you watch the first one. What else is going on? Oh, you know what? Let's talk about, this is a perfect segue, actually, talking about reactionary studios when it comes to, like, you know, fan reaction to a movie. Tim Burton had a whole thing this week. I think he came out about it this week, about he did Batman in 1989, and then he did Batman Returns a couple of years later with Michael Keaton returned, and then Danny DeVito did the Penguin. And Michelle Pfeiffer was Catwoman, and it was incredible. Like, Batman Returns is definitely one of the scarier, just more, you know, like, traumatizing comic book movies. If you watch that, it's really something. And, you know, this is why when people talk about, like, Zack Snyder, it's like a studio reacting because of fan reactions is not new. This has happened before, and it happened with Tim Burton for Batman Returns. There was, like, they couldn't do, like, there were parents complaining, essentially, which is what it was. It's too dark. We know, we wanted, okay, I can't bring my kids to see this. And that's how you get, you know, which I don't know, remember which one, I think it was Batman and Robin came after. And it's like, oh, well, that's how you get Joel Schumacher and these movies that are clearly for children. You know what I mean? Like, these are not meant to be, is that focusing? These are not meant to be, you know, analyzed. The Joel Schumacher movies—they're clearly like there to sell toys for kids, which is fine. That's it's what happens, but like, it's a clear example of that happening of a director putting himself into a movie, the movie being reacted to appropriately. Because let's be honest, imagine people in like 1992 or 91 watching Batman Returns. Oh my God, horrified! You know. Danny DeVito was terrifying in that movie. He always had like bile or some shit spilling out of his mouth. And Michelle Pfeiffer is great in that. She's great as Catwoman. And you know. And then they do Batman and Robin, and Val Kilmer shows up. And he's actually trying, like, it's a Tim Burton movie. But the poor guy's in a Joel Schumacher movie, and he has to like ham it up. Which, you know, what are you going to do? It happens. But Tim Burton said, and this is a quote exactly, and I wrote it down because I love him. You complain about me, I'm too weird, I'm too dark, and then you put nipples on the costume? Go fuck yourself. I love it. I love it. Yes. That right there, yes. Because that is the reaction that any creative person naturally has after they get dumped for a like nerfed version of something, for a clearly more toned down and more safe version of something. And you know that every person has felt that way. Richard Donner felt that way with his Superman movies. He got fired in the middle of a Superman movie, I think. And people act like, you know, the Snyder Cut was a big deal. The Donner Cut, when that came out, that was fucking crazy. And his movies didn't go from like serious to more campy. His movies were full of like heart and passion, and then they clearly went to move to like versions of Superman which are like clear, like poor imitations of that. But that's another perfect example of a creative person who is putting their all into something, and then they get fucked over by a major studio. Like, oh, we want to make, you know, $1.99 and not $1.50, so fuck you. Which happens all the time. It's fucking companies. What are you gonna do? It's the fucking world we live in. But I love Tim Burton. Just say, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? I'm too weird. I'm too dark. And then you put nipples on the suit. Like, my weirdest, darkest shit will never be as bad as nipples on Batman's costume. Go fuck yourself. I love it. Everyone should have that fucking, you know, every creative person should have that vibe of, you know what? Like, listen, I may be weird, but you just did something objectively fucking wrong. And then I saw someone make a joke about, like, they substituted Tim Burton's thing for Zack Snyder, and it was a, you know, you think I'm weird, you think I'm dark, but you put a CGI lip over Henry Cavill for Justice League, and it's like, go fuck yourself. It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. Which is, you know, it's fucking crazy. We got a first look at The Last of Us, the HBO show. We get a first look at Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey as Joel and Ellie, and they're crouched in what it looks like a museum. It looks like the museum where in the video game, spoiler alert, they find out. No, they don't find out. That's where Tess gets bit, I believe. So I don't know if that's going to happen yet in the show yet or not, but the show is going. I'm so fucking excited. I was very hesitant early on, like most people, you know, something like, how do you make a game more like a 20 something hour game more, you know, when you turn into a series, what can you do with it really? Because the game really is the most immersive experience you can have and most like character driven experience. You know, you're directly the character. But I think that what they're able to do now, with especially with The Last of Us, is they're able to fashion the world around it a lot more because you just can do more. You know what I mean? So I'm so excited for this. They have, you know, Neil Druckmann on, and it's like, hey, man, you can't go wrong with Neil. He knows what he's doing. I don't care what you thought about The Last of Us 2. I loved it. And if your reasons for not liking Last of Us 2 is just because Joel died, I don't take your opinion seriously. And I'm not acknowledging the other opinions for not liking Last of Us 2 because those are not acknowledgeable and they're not worth acknowledging. Acknowledgeable? Oh, you fucking moron. they're not worth bringing up. Craig Mazin, who worked on Chernobyl, which is like everybody loved when it came out on HBO. It was a limited series about the Chernobyl disaster. It was incredible. So you have two great storytellers. You have an excellent cast of Pedro Pascal, Bella Ramsey, Anna Torv, Nick Offerman, who's playing Bill. That's so funny. Nick Offerman is exactly Bill. That's hilarious. I'm so excited, dude. It's going to be so good. That's just one of those things where it's like, it's a gift. I understand, like, maybe if you don't want it, and if you don't like it, just don't watch it. This is a perfect example of like, all right, if you think there's a better version of this, because this is very rare, where is there something that's like, this is not as good as the game. It's like, oh, well, then go play the game. Because very rarely is there a version of something when something is out that it's like infinitely better to you. You know what I mean? So go play the game. It's the same people who didn't like The Last of Us Part 2. I thought we were going to be Joel again and walking around. Well, then just go play The Last of Us 1. You're Joel in that one. Have a good time. Last of Us 2 isn't for you. But I'm so excited. That's going to be so good, dude. There's a bunch of Star Wars shit, but I'm so tired. I'm so tired of Star Wars fans. You motherfuckers deserve nothing. Star Wars fans, even the good ones, you're just ruined because of the worst ones. It's just a fact. Like, you're legitimately, and this is, ask most people. Oh, God, I sound like a fucking asshole. If you ask people who's like the more toxic fandom, who do you think they'll come up with? More recently, probably it'll be like Snyder fans and Star Wars. But like objectively, over the last 30 years, who do you think they'll come up with? The people who are bullying children and who are making like so actors want to, you know, commit suicide? Come on. Come on. You fucking losers. You guys bitch and moan for an Obi-Wan series. Listen, I'm not a Star Wars fan. I appreciate it. I think it's fine. The Mandalorian is the best Star Wars thing ever. It's the peak Star Wars. The original trilogy is not that good. Relax. It's fine. It's fine for 70s Star Wars, for 70s sci-fi. The prequels are terrible. The only good thing about the prequels, truly, is John Williams, and it had a through line. It had a narrative structure. Fantastic. Typically, that's all you need, but they also wanted to go big with the CG and everything's green screen and terrible acting. Hayden Christensen, maybe he's gotten better in the last 20-something years. He's fucking awful in the prequels. You got to stop. You got to stop just because you want to get back at the sequels. You got to stop. It's not right. Now, everything is opposite with the sequels and the prequels. The sequels have no narrative structure, no like single, because the sequels are capitalizing on you guys, on the fans, going, oh shit, we're going to make a shit ton of money. Just make them. Doesn't matter what they're about or what's going on or if anything's going to be canon, whatever. Just make them. And that's what happens. They're the best looking Star Wars movies, the sequels. They're the best looking movies. Cinematography is phenomenal in those movies. They actually work towards making everything visually pleasing, which they haven't been able to do until now. But there's no narrative through line. And then you look at the prequels and it's the exact opposite. They look terrible, the prequels. The only dazzling thing visually about the prequels is the Jedi fighting, is like the flips and kicks, which is cool, but nowhere near enough to like save the movie's visuals. But that happens when you put everything on a fucking green screen. Yeah. You know, Star Wars fans have always been fucking excessive. You guys are fucking, you gotta chill. Your favorite thing in the planet is fine. It's all right. Fucking relax. You bitch and moan for this Obi-Wan series, and it's out, and it's actually good. It's actually good. It's an interesting character analysis. And you get to fill in some gaps that you've always wanted to see, but now there are people like, why didn't they just, I saw this fucking dork on TikTok going, why didn't they just market it as it was, Darth Vader and Obi-Wan? And it's like, you guys want nothing. You know what I mean? Like, you claim you want something new or something of substance, and you don't. You want the same regurgitated shit over and over. Something new comes along, and you're like, that isn't Star Wars. Something that Star Wars comes along, and 50% of you are like, oh, this is amazing. The other 50% of you are like, what the fuck is this? You deserve nothing. If I were the president, or whatever, if I were in charge of Disney Star Wars, every Star Wars movie, series, and fucking poster would be just my middle finger. Close up, right here. Because you deserve nothing. Star Wars fans deserve shit. And I'm being harsh. I know I'm being the parent that like is punishing the good sibling for something the bad sibling did. I know there are good Star Wars fans who aren't bullying the Leia child actress. Fucking, did you morons learn anything from the last 25 years not to bully children? I know I'm scolding both of you guys right now. I know there are good Star Wars fans, but you guys get it. You guys get it. Even you guys can look at what the other assholes of this fandom are doing and are going like, yeah, maybe we need to take a break. Maybe it's time for Star Wars to take a break. Maybe we can wait another 20 years for another fucking boring trilogy about the Skywalkers. Ugh. It's a giant universe. Get off Tatooine for fuck's sake. Ugh. How long has this been going? All right. A couple more minutes. I'm almost done. It's 5 in the morning. I don't know, man. I think I'm going to start bringing back reviews to my channel. I haven't done them in a while because I've been working, and I work nights, and it just makes everything a little more difficult. But I think I'm going to start doing it. I'm excited to see Scott Derrickson, who directed the first Doctor Strange, and he directed the Sinister movies, and he made The Black Phone with Ethan Hawke, comes out in a couple weeks. I have an early screening to that, so I think I'm going to review that, and I'll make a video for it, and I'll use it to jumpstart making videos again that aren't just the podcast, because, you know, what fucking asshole who has no like actual stake in anything just puts out episodes of his podcast? I do. I don't know. I'm still hung up on, you know, bitch ass Star Wars fans. I'm sorry. It's fine. It's okay. You gotta relax. It's not amazing. The original trilogy is fine. The Empire Strikes Back, people always go like, it's one of the greatest movies of all time. And that's only because you pair it alongside A New Hope and Return of the Jedi, and it's like, yeah, it's fine. It's okay. It's better than those other two. Epic Rap Battles of History, they did the Lego Harry Potter versus Luke Skywalker, and like the best joke in that entire video is your franchise only has two decent movies, and that's fucking true. They're not amazing. Relax. You're getting too worked up over fine movies. You don't know what you want. I swear to God, if I was in charge of this shit, you would never get anything I would never, ever, ever. It's the same with toxic Zack Snyder fans. People who are just, you know, what's that fucking, restore the Snyder Cut, nothing else. Like, you deserve nothing. If I was in charge, I would send you a picture of my middle finger in the mail every day saying I'm not giving you what you want. You don't get it because you're being a little bitch. You're being a fucking dork. Just stop. It's not happening. It's not happening. Guess what? I'm not giving you shit. All right. What did we talk about? We talked about Joker, Last of Us, and Star Wars. That's not that bad, right? I think that's fine. That's fine. All right. I appreciate if you're listening. And if you're a Star Wars fan and you're still listening, I doubly appreciate you. Because you get it, right? If you're still listening, you get it. And if you're watching, if you're listening, actually, on like Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this, wherever you load this stupid fucking podcast, if you could give me a rating and a review, that would be dope. That'd be really cool because it helps. You know, it helps. I don't know how, but it does apparently. And if you're watching on YouTube, you could subscribe. Subscribe on YouTube, Comedian of Cinema. That's where the podcast goes to watch it. If you want to see my Baby Yoda, my Baby Yoda from Sideshow Collectibles. I'm such a fucking... Mandalorian's the best Star Wars content in 45 years. All right, that's going to be it. Thanks, guys. I'll see you next week, hopefully with a person. Otherwise, it'll be just me again bitching about Star Wars and their fans. See ya.